Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo. Come on. Have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDalulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo. No Austin this week, but this time there actually was a plan for him to be here, but things did happen, and this time it was actually justified, I think. Right, Angelo? It sounds like it was justified this time.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, compared to just the I'm not there, There's actually a reason this time, so we'll allow it this time. Oh God, sorry, stretching. Interesting. Let's just start with some NBA news. We're just going like 90 miles per hour right off the gate.
You're going 90 miles per hour. Right,
yeah.
Off
the
gate.
Well, to be fair, I have been sitting here waiting for you for like 30 minutes. Ish.
That's your fault.
I know. I forgot to say I was ready. That's my bad, but I did actually pull everything up this time, or at least I think. I'm probably going to have forgotten something, so bear with us.
Of course you did.
Phoenix Suns dismissed Frank Vogel from head coaching duties. Mike Budenholzer will be a prominent part of the search. Phoenix Suns plan to hire Bucks champion Mike Budenholzer as their head coach on a deal expected to approach 8 figures per year.
Okay.
So, like, I do like it. I don't necessarily... Look, coaching Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal, it's not an easy challenge. I don't necessarily think Frank Vogel is a bad coach. I liked his years with Indiana. I liked his years with the Lakers. I honestly think the whole notion of having those three, like we've talked about it, and me in particular, I'm not a fan of that roster construction just because it's three players that really can't play without the ball in their hands, and it just doesn't necessarily work, and they also don't really play defense. So I don't know if I'm necessarily confident with or comfortable with saying Frank Vogel was the problem here. But it'll be interesting to see what Coach Bud does coming in and making adjustments, if any. I don't really know what kind of adjustments you can make outside of trading your ancient Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal, but who's really going to take Bradley Beal at this point? And Kevin Durant will probably demand a trade halfway through next season anyway, let's be real. You have anything to talk about with the Suns? Do you agree with the Vogel firing? Do you think it's meaningless, unimportant, going to be the same shit next year?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, here's the thing. The Suns were really, really disappointing.
Absolutely.
Because when all these pieces were brought in, we kind of talked about them being a super team and being able to make a run for a finals appearance, and did they even take a game in the playoffs? They might have taken.
They took one. I may double check that. I remember. No, they did not. They did not. I for some reason remember them winning a game, but they did not. Oh. We actually only had two sweeps in the first round. They were one of them. The Pelicans were the other.
I think Kevin Durant's whole plan post Golden State is basically it's backfired. His tenure with the Nets ended very
abruptly,
disappointingly,
and abruptly.
Abruptly and
disappointingly,
and I think his son's tenure is going to be the same. Honestly, I think that when you're talking about Kevin Durant's legacy, like I get it, he gambled on himself, but he lost.
So to be fair, I would have liked to see that Nets team healthy for a full season. We never really got to see that. We never really got to see the Nets at what they should have been. And so that's always for me going to be kind of a game of what ifs, because I do think that team was better than it produced. And I think that had they actually had the time to play together and get that, I mean, chemistry can't be undersold.
He was part of the reason for that.
Yeah, for sure. He could have.
Actually, a huge part of the reason. Kyrie's the reason James Harden requested for a trade, and the reason that they didn't spend as much time on the court as they.
Yeah, because he couldn't play at home. He missed 41 games.
No, he couldn't play on the road.
He couldn't play at home. He couldn't play in New York. Because
I thought it was the road.
No, because they had to be vaxxed to play at home because he's in Brooklyn.
Oh.
Okay. And so, yeah, you missed 41 games of the year. All the power to you. You made a personal decision. Like, whether or not you agree or disagree with that, he made the decision that he wanted to make, and he knew the consequences and whatever. But I would have loved to see that team if it really had time to mesh together and play together. I think that team wouldn't have as much of a black spot on KD's record or legacy if it wasn't for COVID. I think that it was just kind of a terrible time for them. But that kind of, it's an interesting discussion that kind of evolves from that. Cause we were talking about it just now. You said we thought they were a super team, right? Do you think the era of big threes is done? Cause at this point it's more like there's duos surrounded by more depth. Whereas with the traditional, what we called the super team, the big three, it was three highly paid players, like we're seeing with the Phoenix Suns, and then a bunch of really, really low paid players that are worth really, really low paid salaries. And now we're kind of seeing teams like, you know, the Denver Nuggets, who have two superstar players and then a couple really, really good players and then those depth pieces. Do you think the era of the big three is dead? Or do you just think it's something where there hasn't really been?
I mean, everything goes in ebbs and flows. I think that we're going to naturally transition back to it at some point.
But do you think it's actually, because realistically, when you think of the successful big threes, right? And like that was what everyone was trying to emulate, was the success of the big threes. One of those big threes had LeBron James and one of those big threes had Steph Curry.
Right.
So it's not so much that it's a big three, it's a generational talent player, and then there's two other really good players with them. Now, granted, with Golden State, 100%. We saw two generational players on one team, which was, I mean, we really, early years of the Heat, that was the case as well, because Dwayne Wade was, for all intents and purposes, a generational talent. But I just, with the way salaries are structured now, I don't know how you build a competent team unless someone's taking a massive pay cut. Or you draft really, really well and you have everyone on bird rights, because otherwise I don't think you can build a team with a big three and it actually be successful. Because when those players are not on the floor, because these players can't play 48 minutes a game, right? And if they do, they're going to get in foul trouble. They're going to have to take rest. They're going to end up getting hurt, and you're going to be missing them. And then you have a guy that would be a 13th man on one of these other teams who's playing in your six-man role because you just don't have the money to spend on quality depth. I don't know. It's roster construction is always going to be kind of a interesting thing for me because you have teams like the New York Knicks that are very, very good. Like, they are amazing, but they don't really have a lot of depth. And then you flip it to, like, the Thunder, and their depth is amazing, or the Timberwolves. So, I don't know. I guess there's no right or wrong answer as long as you're winning games.
Yeah, that's true. Winning cures all
ills. Yeah, like, you do whatever you want. If you win, like, everyone forgets the problems.
Yeah.
Shams was on, I want to say it was Pat McAfee today, and he was talking about LeBron. And the full quote is, LeBron James wants to play up to two more seasons, and Lakers want to bring him back. Now, before I continue the rest of it, let's talk about that. Up to two more seasons, meaning he's only playing one or two more seasons. How does that,
yep.
like, because we know it's coming, right? But to have, like, a deadline, like, we're only getting one or two more years of LeBron James. One or two more years. Like, next year could be LeBron's last dance. As a resident of the area around Akron, how does that make you feel? Like, not in terms of, like, does it make you feel old? I don't mean like that. I mean, like... Does it have kind of a bittersweet taste to it? Like, is it something like you got to see him his whole career and you're like excited for the next era, but it's still sad because you're never going to watch him play again? Like,
I think it's similar to when MJ retired for the third time and you knew that was it. Like, that was all he had left. But I think that the fact that he played basketball for, what, 22 years?
Yeah, it'll be 23.
I think that in and of itself is an impressive feat. And not just me, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, even three generations technically got to see LeBron James play. And that in and of itself is impressive.
Yeah, it's longevity in sports careers is always kind of remarkable, because like these people are expected to do insane feats of physical, like the peak human condition, right? And he's done it for so long, and he's done it at a high level, and that's the thing. Like, yeah, that's what's,
think about how crazy this is. We got LeBron James, Tom Brady, and Sidney Crosby just
all at once. Yeah, Messi.
Messi.
As sports fans, we have been spoiled for a very long time. I don't know what, like, who would, Mike Trout? Like, is there a baseball, like, analogy with this as well? Because we have every other sport.
With how great? That's a tough. Clayton Kershaw, I think, would probably be the closest. Okay.
Because, like, we've had years, like, even as someone that's not a baseball fan, like, that pitcher with the long hair from the Giants from, like, 10 years ago. Tim
Lincecum.
Yeah. Like, he was like insane. Like, it seems like in baseball, like every few years, there's a new player that just kind of like blows up and then fans out really quickly. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just because the nature of the sport, like it's easier to figure someone out. Whereas, like, because like mechanically,
there's more games.
Mechanically, like, you're not going to make significant changes. Like, LeBron James, if you watch LeBron James rookie season to now, like, the way he plays is completely different, right? Like, a pitcher that has thrown four pitches his entire life and that's his pitch lineup, like, that's all he's gonna throw. And eventually you're gonna get used to it, and like, some of them I'm sure probably do adapt, but I feel like it's probably harder to adapt that because those guys are elite at what they do and they don't like change. It seems like that's actually prevalent in all sports, like superstitions and changing how you do things. But yeah, no, we've been spoiled as sports fans, and thankfully it does look like with the NHL, we've got Connor Bedard coming up. With the NBA, we've got Luka and Ant. Like, these leagues are in good hands. It's just, it is going to be different.
I know the baseball example. Miguel Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay.
But it is weird to me to have kind of a deadline on it. I've always thought LeBron would kind of just play until he legitimately started regressing. And maybe he is, like, statistically he's not regressing, and, like, to our eye test, it still looks like LeBron James, but he might not be recovering as easily, or, like, he's feeling it the next morning. So he could be regressing, and we just don't see it as much because LeBron James is just that good. But in that same vein, because there was more to the quote from Shams, next week they are ramping up their head coach search. Kenny Atkinson, JJ Redick, David Ellelman, James Borrego are all the current candidates. So,
Who thinks it doesn't matter? Are they just fucked? That's kind of how I feel about it. They're just fucked. They're just waiting until they can start their rebuild at this point.
I don't know what their cap situation looks like, but I feel like you're in LA. You have LeBron.
I was talking about the Suns.
Oh, the Suns? The head coaching search was for the Lakers, but the Suns, I kind of feel like they are. Like, I feel like you have to blow it up, but, like, what do you do? Because you're not going to get anything close to what you traded for Bradley Beal.
Right.
You don't have the money to build a competent team around them. Kevin Durant is such a prima donna at this point that it's really kind of hard to trade him as well. Devin Booker is quickly becoming an empty stats player, and that's kind of sad to say, because, like, it's great that you scored 35. You didn't win the game, though, so, like, who cares? Yeah, no, I have no idea. I have no idea. And it's strange to think, like, how good they could have been if, like, because, you know, chaos theory, right? So, like, everything wouldn't have played out the exact same. But they drafted DeAndre Ayton. And they could have gotten Luka Doncic, Jaren Jackson. As much as you don't like him, Trae Young, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Mikal Bridges.
Trae Young's better than DeAndre Ayton.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even, like, going down, like, Anthony Simons, like, in the end of the first, Jalen Brunson at the start of the second, Devontae Graham, I would take over DeAndre Ayton. Josh Okogie, Grayson Allen, Kevin Herter, Lonnie Walker, Dante DiVincenzo. This was a really good draft. We are going Michael Porter Jr. This is a really good draft. Miles Bridges. So there was a lot of better options looking back, but hindsight is 20/20. And obviously, if they had not drafted DeAndre Ayton, who's to say, like, everything would have played out the same? But, like, imagine this team with Jaren Jackson. It's a dangerous team. Unfortunately, as we all know, they drafted DeAndre Ayton, and he stayed up until 6 a.m. playing 2K on game days and just didn't care. Yeah, I don't know. Close that. I'm really not doing great at closing things today as I'm talking about them.
There you are.
So the rest of this is more on par with, like, as we talk about the series. Apparently you can get Naz Reid tattooed on yourself and they will pay you $20 for it. So full transparency, before we start talking about the playoffs, we are recording on Friday night. There are games tonight. There are games on Saturday. So deal with it. Like, things are going to happen between now and when this episode comes out on Sunday morning. Just prefacing it with that. So what series do you want to start with?
Part with?
Huh?
Let's go Mavericks Thunder.
Mavericks Thunder. I think that's the last, like, or the least, like, controversial. I don't know. It's interesting. So series is tied as of the time of this recording, which is 1-1. That's how ties work. Let me pull that up.
Austin gave his predictions, but honestly, it feels a little bit disingenuous to do predictions when we know the results of the first two games already.
Yeah, we should have done predictions a week ago.
I know right now, before the series started, I was picking, in fact, I even said it, I was picking Denver, and right now I'm like, what?
Yeah, it feels,
so it doesn't feel dis. I would rather just not do it and just talk about how these series are going.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So
Austin made the predictions not mean as much, unfortunately. So send all your hate to Austin.
Yeah, because we were waiting on him for his predictions so that we can do them. So last night's game, Thunder 110, Mavericks 119. Hell of a game from PJ Washington, probably the game of his career. He played 40 minutes, 29 points, 11 rebounds. Luka was Luka, 29, 7, and 10. Kyrie kind of had an off night, 9, 11, and 3. And then Tim Hardaway had a pretty decent game with 17, 1, and 2. Derek Jones Jr., 9, 2, and 5. Daniel Gafford, 13 points, which, hey, you'll take it. Thunder. Shea had a nice game, 33, 12, and 8. Josh Giddey, basically non-existent. He only ended up playing 11 minutes. Jalen Williams, 24 and 4. If you are the Thunder, because I think most people expected the Thunder to win this series, right? The one seed versus the Mavericks were 5.
For record, I would have predicted the Thunder.
Yeah, right. Are you worried with this game? Like, it's a tied series.
No.
The Mavericks stole a game on the road.
No.
You're not worried at all?
My dude, PJ Washington just had to have a 30-point game for them to win. Game one, like, it looked like the Mavericks did. In fact, we're gonna talk about this more than once. Game one, it felt like the Mavericks didn't belong. It felt like the Thunder just had too many weapons that could score, and Luka can't compensate for all of that. So, no, I think that if I'm the Thunder, is it good to lose a game at home? No. Would I be concerned? Not really. Like, how many games are the Thunder going to come out and just flood the Mavericks, and there's nothing Luka's going to be able to do?
But So Kyrie did not have a great game.
No, he didn't. He had a crap game.
So let's say Washington comes out and has 9 points. You think it's shocking if I tell you Kyrie drops 29?
Maybe.
I mean, it's not like they needed Luka, Kyrie, and PJ Washington to win this game. They needed Luka and PJ Washington. So I'm not necessarily terrified if I'm the Thunder, but I'm thinking this series is going longer than I want it to as the Thunder.
Yeah, probably.
Josh Giddey has been not great this playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
That's not necessarily a concern for me, because while he is part of the key rotation, I don't think he's necessary for this team's success. I think if they don't have Josh Giddey, they'll still be fine, because they are that good and that
they
deep.
Played Josh Giddey in 11 minutes. In this
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Right.
He's basically Australian Ben Shepherd, or not Ben Shepherd, Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons.
better offensive player than Ben Simmons, worse defensive player. So take that what you will. Cason Wallace is also really nice. He 6 points in this game, but he's a rookie in playoffs. I don't even know if I would make changes going into the next game. Like, I think that
exactly.
How like, tall is? Oh God, never mind. Well, yeah, I do it. I swap out Josh Giddey for Isaiah Joe. Have Giddey coming off the bench. Let him face second.
Isaiah Joe got more minutes than Josh
Giddey. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that would fit better. Honestly, I would probably put, like, even though he only played 5 minutes, Gordon Hayward. Like,
yeah, I was thinking that too. You might be able to just
swap give him for Hayward and the easy matchups, and then have Giddey coming off the bench and helping your second unit. I don't know. I don't think I'm shaking in my boots if I'm the OKC Thunder, but I'm definitely giving it pause because Luka Doncic is Luka Doncic. Kyrie Irving is Kyrie Irving. Like, this is a really good team. I think the Thunder on paper are a better team, but
yeah,
is Luka Doncic. Like, don't get full of yourselves or you're going to lose this series. And Luka's going to drop a 60 piece on you and have an amazing press conference afterwards. We'll go. You want to just stick in the Western Conference?
Sure.
All right. So Timberwolves Nuggets.
Oh God.
Nuggets. Let's start with Nikola Jokic wins MVP officially. We all knew that was going to happen. It's his third MVP. But the Nuggets are down 2-0, and they lost both games at home. Jamal Murray, non-existent for a bit, and now he's injured. The worryometer for the Denver Nuggets is an 11 out of 10 right now for me. Obviously, Nikola Jokic is the best player in basketball right now.
Are we not going to, like, criticize him for having 16 points in a game two at home?
I'm all about, I mean, that's fine. That's fine. Like, players have bad games. I'm not going to, like, we can criticize him not showing up in that game, but we know he shows up in every other game. Like, a bad game's a bad game. It's going to happen. Like, I don't, he doesn't consistently have bad games, right? Like, that's fair to say. So, like, we can criticize that game, but it's not his normal. And it's not like he hasn't had playoff success. Let's be real here. As of right now, that's an outlier. So yeah, we can criticize it, but what's the point?
They don't look like they belong in this series.
They don't. They really don't. And if you had asked me a week ago what I thought this series was going to be, I would have predicted the Nuggets to win 5, maybe 6 games.
My prediction was correct. I just had the wrong team.
I would say Nuggets in 5, Nuggets in 6. Like, I did not expect, because if you're going to sit here and tell me that Anthony Edwards had 25 points and the Nuggets got blown out, I'm not believing you. Like, that's insane to me. And yeah, Rudy Gobert wasn't even playing.
The Nuggets haven't, granted, I guess this is schematics because 99, but the Nuggets haven't broken 100 points in this series yet.
To be fair, the Cavs did turn it around against the Magic.
The Cavs also took a game.
That's fair.
The Cavs took the first two games.
So if you lose the first game, like, only 25% of teams in NBA history have won the series after losing the first game. So the odds are not in the Nuggets' favor. That said, it's Nikola Jokic.
You said after one game. What about it? What is it after? Didn't you say it was single digits after losing the first two?
Yeah, it's like 7% after losing the first two.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say it's not going to happen. It's just unlikely. I would be surprised if it happened.
It's not going to happen.
And we'll see. We'll see. Time often makes fools.
If you're telling me Jamal Murray is like outdone, like you're getting this amount of diminished returns, it's over, dude. It's not.
This is not your year.
Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets have shown me nothing but disappointment when Jamal Murray is out, and I doubt that changes.
Yeah, that's fair. I just it's still Nikola Jokic, and I'm not gonna say that this is gonna be.
You're talking about him like he's LeBron James? Like no, I don't care who it is. He hasn't shown he can win playoff series without Murray. Just period. You can argue it. You can say he's had great games, but that's just a fact. The Nuggets have not won without Murray. Go ahead. Go back to those series. Go back to the series where you thought they were. Go ahead.
I'm pulling up.
Okay.
Because I feel like he missed not significant, but he missed time last season. All right. Dude, you're supposed to be rambling while I'm Googling.
Well, I know I'm right, so there's nothing to ramble about. Like, I'm sorry. Like, there's a reason I said, like, Jamal Murray deserved MVP for the finals. I'm not going to go crazy and say that
hold on.
Go ahead.
Hold on.
It's gonna be a while, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying to find evidence that
the Nuggets have been successful
without Jamal Murray. What's up?
I'm Googling something.
Mm-hmm. So do you want me to stop talking?
No, keep rambling.
Okay. But I don't know. Like the reason so spoiler alert. Well, actually, it's not even a spoiler. I said it. I was going to pick the Nuggets to win this series because if you look at the Nuggets starting lineup versus the Timberwolves starting lineup, and we talked about this off air, it just simply looks more impressive. Kadarius Caldwell-Pope, Aaron Gordon, Jamal Murray, and Michael Porter Jr. is better than whatever the hell they have around Gobert, Cat, and Ant. And you can say, like, Mike Conley isn't a scrub all you want, but you tell me which supporting cast you want. The Nuggets supporting cast after Jokic and Murray, or the Timberwolves supporting cast after Cat and Ant, or whatever, if you want to go Bear and Ant. It's the Nuggets, dude. Like this is beyond disappointing.
Okay, so in 2020 through 2021... Hold on,
they won a playoff series, then lost in the next round.
Then, wrong season. Hold on.
Okay.
I'm clicking on the wrong years, and then I clicked on the wrong thing. I don't want Nikola Jokic. I want Denver Nuggets. Jesus Christ.
Jamal Murray.
No, I want Denver Nuggets. I'm looking at something.
But
2021.
The Nuggets are just...
So they lost in the semis, the Western semis. Okay, you're right. They did win the first round without Jamal Murray, because Jamal Murray didn't play that
year.
They
had the one seed!
They didn't, but you said that it can't be both. Either they have won a series with Jamal or without Jamal Murray, or they haven't.
I didn't say they haven't won a series without Jamal Murray. I'm saying there's no evidence to suggest they can have a sustained playoff run without him. They won a 1-8 matchup without Jamal Murray. Whoop-de-fucking-do. They're facing... I can't believe I'm saying this. They're facing the Timberwolves, who honestly should probably be the one seed.
Oh, I think the Timberwolves should be the one seed. They were the one seed forever, and then suddenly it blew up in their faces, but... Whatever. I don't think I'm confident completely writing off the Nuggets. I don't think it's necessarily likely because...
Can you give me evidence to show me that there's a reason that we shouldn't be writing off the Nuggets without Murray?
Can you give me evidence to show me that we should be believing in the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Oh, it's not belief in the Timberwolves.
It's disbelief in the Nuggets.
Yep. 100%. And granted, Anthony Edwards looks freaking crazy right now. No, he does. Like some of those games.
Like I said, he is the next LeBron. Like he is the future of the league. It's going to be between him and Luka for sure. We will go across to Pacers Knicks. Knicks leading the series 2-0. This series has had like a lot of drama to it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you've been.
It's been great to see.
Well, I'm talking like outside of the actual games, like.
Oh no, I haven't paid attention.
Okay, so.
Hit me with it.
So before I say this, like the media is making a big deal about this because it's the media, but it happens every game. So every game, teams submit to the league complaints about officiating, right? So like, you know, the last 2 minute report, the league basically gets that from every team for the entire game. They have someone that's going through reviewing all the calls in the game and then submitting that to the league to say the officiating was incorrect here. Here's why, right? So Frank, or not Frank Vogel, I'm thinking the 2014 Pacers called. Rick Carlisle in a press conference, which he was fined $35,000 for, which, woo, that's like an hour for an NBA head coach.
If he wants to donate it to me, I'd gladly take it.
Fined for basically saying, you know, the league officiating has been terrible this series. And that the Pacers had submitted 79 or 78 what they believe to be incorrect calls to the league offices regarding the officiating through the first two games. Again, happens every single game. It's just the media's running with it. Now, I'm a biased Pacer fan, so like it's hard for me to be impartial. However, there's been some there's questionable calls every game. Don't get me wrong. There's questionable calls every game for every team, and you don't win or lose based on the officiating unless it's like completely egregious. However, in game one, we had like back-to-back plays where I think it was Hartenstein set a legitimate like walking screen. And then the very next play, Miles Turner, standing completely still, gets called for the moving screen, which ended up being a kind of a game-deciding moment. Tyrese Halliburton getting the shot up, and like there's frames where the ball is out of his hands, and it's like a foot above his hands, and there's still 0.2 seconds left on the shot clock, and they reviewed it and said that it didn't leave his hands. Like, there's a lot, like, about this series that feels different. Maybe it's because I'm a biased Pacer fan, like I said. But it does feel almost like the league does want New York to go further. Mm-hmm. Which I'm fine with. I get it. Like, New York makes you a shitload of money. Like, go for it. However, don't be so obvious about it, I guess. Because, like, there's one where Tyrese Halliburton like, Tyrese Halliburton's who he almost missed the game because of back spasms. Josh Hart is behind him and literally shoves his lower back while he's going. Like, Josh Hart's a great offensive rebounder, especially for someone 6'4". But if you actually go and watch it, like, he does a lot of push-offs. And again, if you look through Pacers history, like, one of the most defining moments of our history is the shove when Reggie pushed off of Jordan. I get it, but, like, I don't know. I feel like in the playoffs, I would prefer if, unless, like, there's blood playthrough. Like, do not call everything. There was one where Nesmith went for a layup, and Josh Hart literally grabs his jersey and pulls him down, and they didn't call it a foul. And that was on the last two-minute report. Like, oh, yeah, that's a foul. No shit. I'm glad the NBA read the rule book finally. But as I said, I cannot be impartial in this series, so.
So honestly, just as a non-Pacers fan, it really depends on how the team reacts to this, because I could see a case where they take this, it motivates them, and they come out and they just run through the Knicks the next game. And then you're like, okay, this is going to be fine. Or they could lay down and it's 3-0 and the series is over. Like, it's really just depend. This game is very important. How the Pacers play in front of their home crowd, with knowing that they were kind of screwed out of not one, but both of those games.
The first
much.
One for sure. Like, if you even go to like the Knicks subreddit, like even like Knicks fans are like, yeah, the refs kind of gave that one because the Knicks did not play good in the first game. They had a hell of a second game. But in that first game, they were out of it. The Pacers, to their credit, did not put the Knicks down. They kind of gave up, and Rick Carlisle, for whatever reason, is not playing TJ McConnell in the end of the game, even though the Knicks, for whatever reason, don't have an answer to a 6'1 unathletic guy that can't shoot.
So, if there's such a thing as feeling good about being down 2-0, I would be it if I was the Pacers. Because you know you can get
but
them.
It depends.
That's the end of the day. You know you can get the Knicks.
It depends on how also the league responds. Because if now that it's been publicly acknowledged, like, do they double down? Are we seeing those same calls? Because it felt like as the games went on, there was, like, Brunson. I do not think Brunson is a flopper. Like, I'm prefacing it with that. I feel like towards the end of game two especially, he realized that he was getting away with it, so he was more and more like selling it, which flopping to an extent I get as part of the game. I think there's a misunderstanding. Okay, so like if you get smacked in the face and you flop to draw attention to the fact that you're smacked in the face, I don't blame you. You're drawing attention to a legitimate foul. If someone walks past you the wrong way and you scream and fall to the floor like you got shot, that's different. Drawing attention to a foul, I don't have a problem with, and I feel like that's more what Jalen Brunson does, and he's very good at it. But I feel like towards the end of that game, he was being a little more Oscar-worthy with some of the light contacts. And it just kind of depends. If the league continues to call that, I think the Pacers are out of it. I think maybe we win one on the at home, but I think 4-1 would be a good prediction just based on the fact that it feels like the Knicks are rolling. Now, granted, tonight they don't have OG Anunoby. Jalen Brunson is dealing with a foot injury, so if you're going to strike, now's the time to do it. Like, if you're going to start building momentum for a comeback, you got to do it tonight. If you do not win tonight, the series is over. It's done. Get ready for next season. But I guess time will tell. If I'm the Knicks, like, I'm sitting high. Like, you have a 2-game lead. Obviously, you don't take your foot off the accelerator, but you give OG and Brunson time to relax and get ready, because next you got the Celtics or the Cavs if you win the series. So I feel like they're not going to be as gung-ho about putting this series away now as they would be if this was the Eastern Conference Finals or the NBA Finals. And I think that benefits the Pacers, because they might not be giving Brunson as much of a workload as he normally gets. And that's the thing about this Knicks team, is if you can somehow eliminate Jalen Brunson from the equation, that it's over, just because the Knicks don't have pieces. Like, OG Anunoby's nice. And yeah, he might go out and get you 30 one night, but Jalen Brunson is what this team lives and dies on. And if a team, whether that's the Pacers, the Cavs, the Celtics, the Nuggets, whoever makes it out of the finals, figures out a way to just eliminate Jalen Brunson from the equation, the Knicks are done. And that's kind of what scares me from the Knicks' perspective. Obviously, I'm not worried because I have a 2-game lead, so. Going forward, though, I really hope I'm getting more from my guys, and I'm not relying so much on Josh Hart playing every second of every game. All right, leading it or ending it with Celtics Cavs. Series is tied 1-1. And there's a few interesting statistics. So the Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell have not lost a home game since February 12th. That's also their only home loss of 2024 when he plays. So the Cavs are going back to Cleveland for two games. And they have not lost at home when Donovan Mitchell plays since 2023. Does that give you a sense of security, or does it give you a false sense of security?
False sense of security. So, like, game one, we're going to go back to the Mavs. And the Nuggets in a way. Game one, it didn't feel like the Cavs belonged in that game.
Absolutely not. It didn't feel like, at that point, it did not feel like the Cavs belonged in the playoffs.
It felt like the series was over just then and there. And then game two rolls around, and then the supporting cast finally helps Donovan Mitchell out. So, quite honestly, I have no idea what to expect. If you told me the Boston Celtics came into game three and just rolled the Cavs, I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me that the Cavs won this game, I also wouldn't be shocked.
So if you were... So put it in... Flip it to the perspective of the Celtics, right? So round one, you don't have to deal with Jimmy Butler, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Round two, Jared Allen gets hurt. Round three, if you make it past the Caps here, round three, you've got either New York Knicks with five players, and one of their key piece has been dealing with a foot injury all playoffs long, which is Jalen Brunson, or you've got the Pacers that shouldn't even be here. If the Celtics do not make it to the NBA Finals, is this the last draw?
It's just time to call it quits.
Yeah, that's
because
you have a perfect setup. Like, this should be wide open seas until the NBA Finals. Now, once you get to the NBA Finals, you're either dealing with the Mavericks, Thunder, Timberwolves, or Nuggets, which those are all legitimately threatening teams. And I'm not saying those teams in the East are not threatening. It's just there's been injuries
They're
over
hurt.
There. The case like the Pacers, like, again, I'm happy we're here, but we shouldn't be. Especially if they go out in this round.
Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to take this back to the Nuggets Timberwolves series for a second. So back when we were predicting the NFL playoffs, Alex would say that the Eagles were actually winning games, but he would say, like, they're not winning good enough. They don't, like, win better. Like, he called them a fraudulent team, even though they were competing for a one seed at the time. And they ended up losing in either the first or the second round of the playoffs. I forget which. And it kind of takes me back to, like, did the Nuggets beat the Lakers in the worst, like, 5-1 or 4-1 series that we've ever seen, maybe?
It's hard to say because I don't typically remember, like, round one, five or four ones.
Well, here's the thing, because in a previous episode, we went through the scores at halftime, and you said the Lakers would have won in five games had the games ended at halftime. So was that kind of like a prelude to, like, them, you know, shitting the bed against Denver on top of Murray's injury?
I mean, maybe. But it's also hard to say because, like, we don't know how many series would have been over in the history of the NBA if the game ended at halftime, or it ended at the third quarter, or it ended at the first quarter.
That's
like,
fair.
It's a game of what ifs, and that would be kind of infinite. But I don't necessarily think
Lakers,
it's the worst.
Blew, like, double digits. Multiple double digits.
Right. But they're also like 90 years old. So, and they don't have a lot of depth. So, like, it's kind of expected. Right. Like, you
But then why did they have the double-digit leads at halftime to begin with?
Because they have players that are really, 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 really good, but are also really, 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 really old. It's like the Bucks-Pacers series. Like, the Bucks were able to keep up until the fourth quarters because the Pacers were running circles around them. And they were getting tired because Damian Lillard is old. Patrick Beverley is old. Chris Middleton is a godsend, and like that man deserves all the praise in the world because he's the only reason they stayed in it. But he's still old, and at the end of the games, you could see it. And that's kind of what we were seeing in the Lakers. I don't necessarily think that because you have LeBron James, and for those first two quarters, LeBron James looked like prime LeBron James, and then he got tired, and then he looked like 41-year-old LeBron James. Which is still a really good player, but it's not enough to get over the hump that is the Denver Nuggets. So I don't think that it's fair to say, like, the Nuggets, like, lucked out in that. I just think that the Lakers are old and the Nuggets are not, so.
I don't necessarily want to say that they lucked out, but they weren't playing. Like you said, the Cavs looked like something was off at the start. Could you not also say the Nuggets looked like something was off?
I don't think it's so much the Nuggets looked off. I just think the Lakers looked good. Like, I don't think the Nuggets were necessarily playing badly. Like, I don't think it was anything. It's one of those things, like, we were playing 2K yesterday and we had that game where the other team just wouldn't miss and we weren't playing bad defense on them. They were just hitting everything in our faces. I feel that way about the Nuggets versus Lakers. Like the Lakers had the lead early in those games, but I don't necessarily think it was bad. Like I don't think the Nuggets played bad is what I'm trying to say. I just think the Lakers played really good. And like that's something that sports fans don't, like, we're not really good at, and I'm saying we because I am as well, like, where we look at an outcome and we're only seeing success versus loss, right? And I don't think that tells the whole picture because you can play really bad and win the game, or you can play really good and lose the game. That's not defining of how you played. And I think the Lakers played really good. The Nuggets just played better because a game is not one in two quarters, it's one in four. I don't know. What brought us to this? We were talking about the Celtics and how embarrassing it would be if they don't just basically steamroll the rest to the finals. At that point, like we've talked about it, like you have to trade one of the Jays. Obviously, it's going to be Jaylen Brown because Jason Tatum is the future of that franchise. But the question is, who takes Jaylen Brown's contract? Because if they don't, like that's embarrassing. Unless like the other teams play really well, then I guess I could say like if the Celtics play well and lose, sure. But if they choke, that's different. I don't want to make myself a hypocrite after what I just said. Are you worried as the Celtics? Because obviously the Celtics are the favorites in the series. I think you would be crazy not to say that.
You lost a game in Boston, dude.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, how worried are you?
Very.
Very.
Bro, Donovan Mitchell is going to give you what Donovan Mitchell is going to give you. If the Cavs role players keep playing like this, they don't have a chance.
True. So it's basically like, I don't want to say the Heat from last year because I think the Cavs are a better team than the Heat from last year. But kind of that same situation where the role players kind of carry the series because the Celtics really don't have the same kind of depth that the Cavs have. Like they got Peyton Pritchard, Luke Kornet, and Sam Hauser. It's not great on paper.
They have an amazing starting five though.
They really do. They have one of the best starting fives in basketball. My question
I'd say it's the best five. But anyway.
Best five?
Yeah, they have the best starting five, dude.
Thunder's pretty nice. Magic's pretty nice. Nuggets is very nice.
Not right now.
Not right now, but Timberwolves is really nice. I don't know. There's a few contenders for that title. You got to get more out of Drew Holiday if you're going to go anywhere. I still think the Celtics win this series, but if you told me the Cavs won it, I wouldn't be surprised. It's going to be some stupid... It's going to come down to Game 7, and, like, Jaden Springer is going to hit a game winner or something, or Damian Jones. Or Tristan Thompson is going to look like 2013 Tristan Thompson and get some stupid offensive rebound at the buzzer and put it back. Actually, Cavs starting lineup's really nice. Max Strus is the weak link there. Honestly, I was going to say I'd put fucking Caris LeVert in there instead of Max Strus, but beggars can't be choosers. And that's because Jared Allen's not playing. Never mind. They have a really nice starting five. What else? So we talked about all the series. Interesting conversation.
You want to talk about?
Interesting conversation. So we talked about it a little bit yesterday in the group chat. Nikola Jokic won the MVP, right? And I think that's pretty much unanimous. We all agree Nikola Jokic should have been MVP, right? You and Austin have a vehemently different take on who should be the 2 and 3 than I do.
Yes, we do.
So you guys say Shea and Luka, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes.
And I don't have a problem with one of those being three, but I put Jalen Brunson at my 2. And I just, my reasoning you guys don't agree with, which is that Jalen Brunson did it by himself. What, why do you necessarily disagree with that? Because
I don't disagree with it. I just think Shea and Luka had more impressive seasons.
They had more impressive numbers, for sure. But Jalen Brunson by himself led the Knicks to the 2 seed. Shea and Luka had amazing seasons, but Luka had Kyrie. Shea had an entire fucking team. Jalen Brunson was RJ Barrett for a bit and then OG Anunoby.
So we're just disqualifying Julius Randle altogether?
How many games did
we're Julius... saying Mitchell Robinson isn't
a, what?
A decent center?
A decent depth piece? Sure, if that's what you're quantifying your difference in MVP on. How many games did Julius Randle actually play this year?
So then why should Jokic be MVP? He has Jamal Murray.
46.
He has MPJ. He has Aaron Gordon. He has Kadarius Caldwell-Pope. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. So why does Jokic deserve MVP? Why isn't your MVP Jalen Brunson then?
Jokic's game was just so dominating across the board.
Oh my god, dude.
It was. Hold on, let me pull something up. Hollingers. Huh. Tyrese Haliburton was actually number 9 in PER. Joel Embiid actually led the league in PER, but he only played 39 games.
He was hurt most of it. Why doesn't Tyrese Maxey deserve a shout-out? You didn't expect the 76ers to be a play-in team, let alone, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they make one of the top seeds? Not that, like, but didn't they make one of the, like the 6-7 seed?
Hold on, I'm still scrolling.
No, they made the seventh seed. They made the seventh seed.
PJ McConnell has a 21.16 PER. He was number 29 in the league. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, boys balling.
What the fuck? No, that's for the whole regular season.
Yeah, I know. Dude's balling.
Tyrese Maxey, where?
Were you trying to make a case for Tyrese Halliburton?
No. Like, it was Jalen Brunson's number 8 at 23.62. I'm actually now at this point looking for where Tyrese Maxey is, because Tyrese Maxey didn't even, unless I'm blind. Tyrese Maxey wasn't even top 50 in PER. All right, estimated wins. Jared Allen was number 3 in EWA. Huh. Actually, most of the... I don't actually know why that is. I'm going to figure that out. Most of the EWA are centers, actually. Hold on. Actually, all of the leaders. And does it value? Is this like 2K and it overvalues rebounds?
It probably values rebounds, blocks, and
you have to get down to number 35 to get to a not big, which is Brandon Miller.
Interesting.
Unless I'm missing some. Oh, Bobby Portis is number 20. He's a forward. Interesting. That's actually, that's a rabbit hole I'll go down separately, because now I'm interested. Value added, Nikola Jokic is 400 points ahead of second place. Again, it's all bigs. I'm really interested to see, is it all just rebound rate? It is all just rebound rate. Holy God, 2K gets it right. You get rebounds, you're MVP. I'll go down that separately. I still can't find Tyrese Maxey. Tyrese Maxey is apparently not a good NBA player, according to advanced statistics. Patrick Beverley suspended 4 games for throwing a ball at the fans twice. Jamal Murray is fined $100,000 for throwing a heating pack onto the floor. Let me see. OG Anunoby not playing tonight. F5. Can I please F5? You never let me F5, you stupid thing. What's coming up on the football podcast while I'm Googling?
You mean the football podcast that we just did, or the that is already out, or the one or next, this coming
next
week?
Episode? Like,
homie, I have no idea. I'm not going to lie to you. Backlash, which is a WWE event, happened. The weekend, last weekend, and I flat out pitched him, what if we just talk about that, dude?
Go for it.
Like, that's what I said. Go for it.
Okay, but so Bill Simmons actually said, if Missoula can't get to the finals with the number of breaks this team got, Jimmy Butler not playing round 1, Jared Allen hurt round 2, round 3 is either the depleted Knicks who lose a guy every game or the freaking Pacers, biggest choke in Boston history, and that's Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
So it's apparently a common thought. Michael Jordan opened a third clinic in Wilmington, North Carolina, to serve uninsured and underinsured residents. So shout out to MJ for that. That's actually kind of cool.
That's kind of cool.
D'Angelo Russell is expected to decline his $18.6 million player option. Celtics fans started leaving the building with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Ouch, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, I have no idea what's happening in this Cavs Celtics series.
Anthony Edwards, not a fan of the Michael Jordan comparisons. He seems to think he's better than Jordan, where he says, I can shoot the three, so that makes me a little different than Michael Jordan. Love the confidence. Ant.
Nice.
Love the confidence. Shaq and Shannon Sharp are fighting again because Shaq doesn't think Jokic should be MVP. Shouldn't have three-peated, blah, 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 or been a three-time MVP, blah, blah, blah. Shannon Sharp's like, maybe if you weren't so lazy when you were playing, you would have been an MVP more.
Shannon Sharp's not wrong.
He's not. Like, of all the things, like, Shaq is probably the most physically dominant. Probably. Shaq is the most physically dominant player to ever play the game, and if he was a little less lazy, he would have been unstoppable. Apparently there was a fan in the game last night that was trash talking Luka Doncic's family. Scott Foster wanted to eject the fan and Luka told him not to, and Luka used it as motivation to beat the
lose game two
and win game two.
Oh, wait, no, win game two. Never mind. Go on, sir.
Kyrie Irving on courtside fan interactions in OKC, that game in specific. Everybody's trying to go viral when they're at NBA games instead of focusing on the players and the task at hand. So when you do that to my teammate, of course I'm going to stand up. I don't know what Kyrie did, but I agree with that sentiment. It feels like ever since the social media age, especially, like, fans sitting courtside or just on the floor in general in any way near the players, like, they're trying to make themselves a focal point. And sometimes it's funny. Yep. Like, I think in the Bucks-Pacers elimination game, there was that fan that was saying, like, passive-aggressive things, and it was kind of funny. But, like, going back to, like, DeMar DeRozan's daughter with the Bulls last year, it was funny at first, but then it just kind of got annoying when she was just screaming and you could hear it through the TV. But it seems like, because I went to Pacers Timberwolves a month ago, and, like, I was sitting on the floor, and the girls in front of me never looked at the floor. They were talking to each other the whole time and looking at their phones, and then they got up and left halfway through the second. And it's like they were there to take the picture to say, look where I'm sitting, look how awesome I am, and then they didn't care. Like, they were not there for the game. I'm not shitting you when I say they did not look at the floor one time. Did not matter what was going on. So, like, there's this thing. I'm not sure if it's the same for every team. I'm sure it is, but nobody sits at Gainbridge Fieldhouse for the opening tip. Like, you have to stand up. They did not stand up because they were too busy talking to each other. People view going to games as a social media thing because, again, TikTok has made everyone famous for 5 minutes. So that's what they got to do.
Is that just part of society?
It really is, unfortunately. Like, social media has really, it's the instant gratification. And I really think that, like, 50 years from now, I don't think it's going to be a part of society forever, but I think, like, 50 years from now, we're going to sit as a species and be like, oh, you know what? That probably wasn't a good idea. Like, we probably shouldn't have done that. Because, like, the instant gratification of social media is fun, but it's also very terrible for mental well-being. Because, like, when you're looking at social media, you're not seeing everyday life. You're seeing awards, you're seeing highlight reels, you're seeing, like, everyone's bragging about the good things going on in their lives, because nobody is going on social media and talking about how horrible this, this, and this is in their lives. And so, like, we're comparing everything. And I think it's terrible for everyone's mental well-being, and I don't necessarily agree with it. I think that as a society of humans, we would be better off without social media. That said, I do utilize it, so I'm a hypocrite. I get it, but I'm at least acknowledging it's a problem. It's like, I don't know, but you look at, like, Reddit, for example, and there are people, like, if you browse NBA Reddit and sort by new towards the end of games, like, people will post, threads.
Don't do it.
No, like, they'll post threads, like, that are completely incorrect information because they want to be the first person to post it. So they'll post, like, oh, the Celtics won, and then it's the Cavs that actually won because they posted it right before the end of the game, and the Cavs hit a game-winning shot because they want to be the first person because they need the mental stimulation of the upvotes.
No, well, that too, but not only that, like, livelihoods, like, God, why am I saying like so much? Livelihoods matter for this because you can make money off of this. So, in, like, the YouTube sphere, one of the things that developers have over creators is access. You can release when the official date of the new game, features, reviews, stuff like that. That's all big time money for content creators, and it gets traction to games.
Yeah, and I mean, it's an unfortunate, like, reality of the world we live in. And then, like, things like TikTok happen. And, like, one of the most, like, frustrating things you see is, like, someone, like...
You want to hear something sad? So, I know you don't like wrestling.
Uh-huh.
But WWE literally has an entire, like, I guess I'm going to call it a show, an entire dedicated show called Speed, where it's 3-minute matches or less, all posted to Twitter.
That's
all of them.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But so, like, one of the most detrimental, like, social media experiments has been TikTok. And the reason is, so do you remember Vine?
Yeah.
So TikTok is Vine.
That's where actually the poll started. Anyway, go on.
So TikTok is basically Vine. But the way the algorithm works is it wants you using it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it gets more revenue.
Once you do scrolling,
it wants you on it. So, whereas Vine, you actually had to be funny or talented or, like, attractive or whatever to get noticed. TikTok does this thing because it wants you using it, where you will just randomly, like, the most asinine video you can think of, you'll post, and it will get hundreds of thousands, millions of views because the algorithm is pushing it, so you get that dopamine of, wow, I went viral. But you didn't necessarily actually go viral. You got algorithmed into being viral for 5 seconds, and then nobody cares because the next person up, and that's, like, creativity is dead because, like, if you look at Vine, if you go watch Vine compilations on YouTube, which who doesn't, right? Like, it was funny, it was humorous, and now it's like you have, oh, I'm a Madden Twitch streamer, and I say one thing and I say it over and over again, and it's funny because I say it over and over again, and, like, everyone just keeps saying it over and over again, and it's like, Jesus Christ, like, is this where creativity has gone to die?
Yes it is.
Like,
I don't know,
like, even back during the Twitch or not the Twitch the Vine era, like, people would remix other people's vines into songs, and it was like, that was funny because it was new and original. And now it's like boring because everyone's just doing it because nobody has an original thought in their mind. They're just, look at me.
Welcome to the new world, run, you gain old. Bah, humbug. Get off my yard.
It's not even that. It's just, I am vehemently opposed to what we're doing as a society where we're like, you know what? Parenting is hard. Here's an iPad. Watch YouTube. Like,
parenting is
and then we're questioning, like, why these kids are, like, go watch kids content on YouTube. It's a bunch of, like, 20-something weird dweebs who are doing voices over, like, Mario claymation. And the shit they're saying is so brain dead that we're wondering why kids are getting more and more mental illnesses, like, diagnosed. Like, it's this is during their prime gray matter developmental years, and you're letting absolute troglodytes give your kids all of their attention at 6 inches from their face and like audio in their ears. And you were wondering what's going wrong. And like, we have the answer. Like, I'm not doing the old boomer thing of, oh, go play outside. Like, no, technology is awesome. Use it. Absolutely. But like, Jesus Christ, at least like monitor it so you don't have useless drivel. Like when I was a kid, like watching like Hank and John Green like talk science to me, it was great. It was awesome. It was funny. It was thought provoking. It wasn't just ha ha fart jokes for 20 minutes from some guy that's 26 living in his mom's basement and has a sexual attraction to Sonic characters. Oh. My phone is vibrating. Oh, it's Cameron. I thought it was you saying wrap it up.
No, I just thought it.
You thought it. I could tell. Went a little too long on the social media thing. Sorry. All that being said, hey, follow us on social medias at No Reserves. We are on everything except for TikTok. That's not because I don't want us to be on TikTok. That's just because Austin didn't make a TikTok and we don't necessarily.
Honestly, we need like a, I hate to say use this phrase, but we need like a social media manager because I can't.
Wasn't Dylan supposed to do it?
At some point, yeah. Well, I mean, technically Alex now runs the Twitter, so technically he's the social media, but we kind of need someone who can like, honestly, fuck it. I just want to come in and just record, and then that's all I do for
hey,
the day.
Look, this is.
I want to be Ren. I want to be Ren for a goddamn week, okay?
I mean, I am all the charisma on this channel.
Fuck you.
That is true. If you're interested in that, hey, if you want to be our social media manager, it's an unpaid job as of now. Eventually, maybe. Who knows?
Unpaid internship.
It's an unpaid internship. Reach out at noreserves@gmail.com.
This guy.
NoReservesRadio@gmail.com. What's our email?
NoReservesPodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us your resume if you want to run our social media pages.
Run your in charge of that.
I'll host the interviews. But yeah, follow us on socials.
All the Ren fangirls are not going to apply. God damn it.
That means you have to interact with them. So yeah, follow us on socials. You need to engage with our fans. If you like what we do here, do follow us, leave a like, comment, subscribe. Whatever the platform you're listening or observing on lets you do that. Leave us a review. Leave an honest review. I'm not going to tell you to leave a 5-star review because we might not be a 5-star. Tell us what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. We like to learn. We like to grow. Join us next Sunday for sure for an NBA podcast. Join us on Thursday for either a football or a wrestling podcast. Who knows? And potentially on Tuesday for another episode. If you have your notifications enabled, you'll know if we release an episode on Tuesday because we might. You never know. Do you have anything else, Angelo?
The only thing I have is you need to learn how to tell people to go fuck themselves. Have a great day, guys.
Have a good week, guys. Love you. Bye.